With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
So joining us on the CenterPoint Energy Home Service Plus Hotline, Rashad Vaughn. Got to know Rashad when he was at Cooper High School, and he was just blossoming. And the next thing I know, he was walking up on stage as a first-round draft pick into the NBA. And he's been playing professionally overseas of late, but I've connected with him a couple of times this summer on a couple of different fronts, and he joins us now. Rashad, thank you for joining us tonight.
Mike, my guy, how you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. Can't complain.
What do you think of this NBA? These playing down in Orlando. Do you think this will be smooth? How do you see it?
I think it'll be pretty well, man. Just from seeing everything that's going on right now, seems like they got kind of everything under control with the COVID and got a big, hold on who's coming in and out. So I think as long as they can keep the virus out, I think the basketball should go on as normal.
You were with the Milwaukee Bucks, and obviously they've become one of the chic teams in the East. Yeah, when you were there, what was that competition like just internally? Because they were just starting to flourish as a franchise.
Yes, absolutely. Coming in, they had just played Chicago in the playoffs. So kind of glory was on that team for the future, and especially with the young guys we had with Antetokounmpo coming up and Jabari Parker and even Chris Middleton had just signed his deal for when I was coming in. It was great, man. It was every day battling in practice. The coaching staff was, always on us and making sure we was working hard. So the environment was great.
What was the Greek Freak like to play against? What was he like as a teammate?
Great dude. Great teammate. Very hard worker. He kind of set the tone for the entire organization. With him working as hard as he does, made everybody, want to work hard. So he kind of set the pedestal for the environment that it was.
Could you see he was just really coming into his own at that time?
Yeah, definitely. He was starting to, come into that Greek Freak mode. You could see his confidence starting to take that turn. And having Jason Kidd as his head coach helped him tremendously. He was able to put him at that point guard position and just really let him flourish.
Now, Kevin Garnett, the rumors that he wants to try to buy the Timberwolves now as an investor, et cetera. You played against him in the league because you got in when he was at the end of his career, but you also watched him growing up. Was Kevin Garnett someone that you emulated as a kid?
Definitely, man. I think if you was from Minnesota when KG was here, he was, during his MVP seasons and just being here, man, he was our superhero, man, here in Minnesota. So kind of hearing the news that he wanted to acquire the team, I think that'd be a legendary move for him and for the city.
Yeah, it's just hard to come up with $1.4 billion or whatever it is, even if you're Kevin Garnett. Holy cow, big nut. Those NBA teams are worth so much now, Rashad.
Definitely, man. But I think, hey, if you can get to the right people to raise that amount of capital, it's possible for sure.
And that's the way it's supposed to be in this country, right? If you can do it, you can do it.
Definitely. Absolutely.
And now explain where you played this past season, Rashad.
I was in Europe playing. First year out there, man, went pretty well. Got to be able to, just play and just be able to get back to just having fun and just playing the game that I always grew up playing and kind of trying to find that love again, just So it was a great experience for me.
Yeah, you know, sometimes you just said it, and as great as the NBA is, the world's greatest league and all those things, it also means that, that the minutes are hard to come by and everything else, and that kind of that freedom that you had for the most part when you played at Cooper Prep School or UNLV, it gets taken away from you, and you're just fighting for any minutes. And with that, it can be hard to love the game again. Is that what it felt like when you got over there? Was you could be a focal point again, and you don't have to count mistakes, and you can just play?
Yeah, definitely. I think that was the biggest thing for me, just being able to go out and play freely and, you know, be able to make mistakes and things like that. Like you said, man, it's the biggest thing when you get to professional level is about situation, you know, being in the right situation at the right time. And regardless of, you know, where that is, that's where, you know, your true love for the game and happiness will, you know, play a huge factor.
Rashad, I've also spent some time with you this summer. Royce White has led the way for some championing some causes and PJ Hill demonstrations in downtown Minneapolis that you marched in as well. Take me through, because the first night I think Royce reached out to me after you and he were down there, not as part of a demonstration, but the night I believe that Target store got looted and Cub Foods and the Third Precinct, I think might have been the night the Third Precinct got burned down. Take me through that night. How did that strike you? Because as I recall, you just went down to kind of see what was going on and had no idea it was going to get that big.
Oh man, it was a sight to see. It was so much. It was hectic. It was so much going on. You know, just to be standing between, you know, burning buildings, it was a crazy feeling, and to see the city on fire and seeing just so much chaos going on, it was definitely a sight to see. And being down there with Royce, you know, just seeing a city like that, we both, you know, trying to figure out how we can do our parts as athletes and being from here, and you know how we can, you know, put our two cents in and just be a part of, you know, what this thing is pushing. And I also got to tip my hat to you, man. I see you out there every night on the news, man, in the midst of it all.
It was something, man. I tell you, I wouldn't trade it for anything in the world, but when you and Royce were texting me saying, what are you doing out there? I thought, those are two big dudes, and they're not out here. What am I doing out here? But did you even, I mean, you said it was crazy that night. I mean, you are two big, strong guys. Did you ever feel endangered at all that first night?
No, man. To be honest, you know, it was a lot of, you know, it's hard. I would say camaraderie being out there in the streets, and everybody that was just out there were out there for the same cause. It seemed like to me, you know, like I said before, you know, all the fires and things like that. It was from all ethnicities out there.
Sure was.
Yeah, everywhere, man. It seemed like everybody was, you know, had enough as well, and everybody was out there together and just trying to be a part of this movement to make a stand against police brutality and everything that's going on in America.
So then you guys went in U.S. Bank Stadium. You got a group together and you marched through downtown Minneapolis more than once. But I got to tell you, the first time when you guys told me you were going to do it and you said, don't tell anybody, but we're getting some people over there. And I thought, okay, there'll be a couple hundred people. You had about, I don't know how many you had, thousands, 6,000, 7,000. I have a tough time keeping track. How did you do that? How did you organize that quickly?
I think, man, it was just kind of in the heat of the moment. You know, everybody's tensions was high. Everybody felt the need to do their part. So once we kind of called all the athletes together in Minnesota, with the tensions and the energy in the city, we just had a feeling that, you know, we would get a great huge group of people that would come out and support and march with us. So you can just tell by the energy in the city and just everything that was going on in the moment that people were going to want to be a part of that.
Last night they passed the bill on police reform, no chokeholds, a couple other things. How does that strike you? Is that significant progress? Is that window dressing? Does it mean a lot? Does it have teeth? How does it strike you when you see that?
I think it's, you know, I think things are getting done. I think, you know, the people of America are, they had enough. And from what I've seen, and no, people's not just letting up, and they're not just letting things fly by, forgetting things and just going on about life. People are had enough, and they, you know, still to this day, still getting things done, still calling hotlines, still marching, still protesting, because there need to be serious change. And as long as we're moving forward in the right direction and, you know, things are getting done, you know, I think that's all that matters. As long as we, as a people, you know, keep pushing the envelope, keep pushing for change, I think anything can happen.
Were you proud ultimately, you know, the marches that you were involved in were very peaceful, and, you know, they might have shut down some traffic, but there were no physical confrontations on either side, law enforcement either. The law enforcement kept their cool as well, I thought, throughout, not just for you, but for other demonstrations that were there. Were you proud of that as much as anything else, that you proved that you guys could do peaceful protests, that this wasn't about trying to assign blame to the point where, you know, something erupted out of it? There wasn't violence, there wasn't anything like that?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that was kind of our biggest thing, was how can we do something that, you know, is peaceful, but it's not taken away from anything anybody else is doing. And as athletes, you know, we figured we had to do something on more of the peaceful side, you know, just to kind of balance out with the fires and everything that was going on. So we just felt that was the, for us to do our part, that was the best way to go. For all the athletes to come together and put that march on.
And it was, I think, don't you, in retrospect?
Peaceful?
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, I think it was the right way to do it, because you needed people to say, this isn't about jumping up and down and this is about a peaceful protest. I thought that, that was the effectiveness of it.
Yep. And it was about, you know, everybody just coming together for one cause. And like I keep saying, you know, there's a lot of different ethnicities in the margin.
Yes.
And in the streets. And, you know, you can kind of see that younger generation of young people, you know, white, black, Hispanic, all had enough and wanted to do their part in pushing for this change, and wanting to do their parts for having each other's back. So that was special to see that and to be a part of that.
You know, I've asked a number of different people about this and gotten, I'm amazed by the answers that I've gotten, and I have not had a chance to ask you about this, but there's a term that I've come to terms with called DWB, driving while black, and a lot of people will say it affects mainly male African-Americans, not female so much, but male, and particularly if you're driving the wrong car in the wrong neighborhood, or you're wearing a baseball hat, you are susceptible to it. It has nothing to do sometimes with whether or not you're innocent or guilty. Has that ever happened to you?
Yeah, a few times, younger, in high school, and, you know, being from North Minneapolis, you know, police are always patrolling around. So I've had a few encounters of just, you know, being stopped for, you know, like you said, driving while black, having a hat on, maybe even a hood on. So I think just being from North Minneapolis, more people than not would say, especially black men, would have some type of experience where they dealt with that type of police brutality.
Yeah, and you also pointed out to me that you know a lot of good police officers, too, from the north side that you kind of grew up with.
Yeah, absolutely.
Rashad, where are you at now? I see you working out at the health club. What's next? It looks like you're training pretty hard with some pretty good players.
Yep. So, man, just been training, man, pretty much all summer, lifting and getting my skill work in, and, you know, depending on what's going on with the COVID. But I signed to play once again in Europe. For a Euro Cup team, Excited to get out there and, you know, play higher level of European basketball and, you know, and see where the chips fall.
For sure. Appreciate you, sir. Thank you for giving us the time, and I'll see you at the health club soon.
Sounds good, man. Appreciate it.
You bet. Rashad Vaughn, nice enough to join us. First round draft pick out of Cooper High School. How about that?
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.